Good evening, good morning, wherever you may be listening from around the world. You're tuned into the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. Thank you for joining me on this journey. We've got a strange show lined up for you, folks. In the next 4 hours, we're going to examine the dark encounters with Bigfoot, the forest people, Sasquatch, and some other very colorful nicknames from around the United States. We'll be talking with Brenda Harvey Harris, who has had first-hand encounters and some very unique insight to Bigfoot encounters. Throughout the evening, Jim Bear King and Tim Kunbo Baker will join us for the last 3 hours of the show to discuss some of these dark encounters that they've collected and have had themselves. We'll also open up phone lines to take your calls and discuss the Bigfoot phenomena. Wanted to mention real quickly, for those of you that listen to the show, follow me on Darkness Radio, and while I visit here on Coast to Coast AM, I had an excellent opportunity to appear on the Travel Channel TV series Ghost Adventures this evening. I believe it's our 12th episode in the 12th season of the show on the Travel Channel, and we went to the Stardust Ranch. And one of the best things about this job doing radio is I get a chance to talk to people from all around the world and hear their amazing stories. And I know Jimmy Church covered this, I believe, on Coast to Coast about a year ago, the Stardust Ranch out in Arizona. We covered it on our show, Darkness Radio, and discussed this case with the owner of the property, John Edmonds. And he had such amazing and it's sometimes outrageous claims, but challenged us to come and see for ourselves. So I reached out with my connections to the Ghost Adventures crew and recommended that this may be a case as close to the Skinwalker Ranch type case in Utah that we may get a chance to investigate. They have got cryptids, ghosts, grays, UFOs, and more taking place on this property, even animal mutilations. So we packed up the gear, and they were kind enough to invite me to be a part of that episode. And we went out to the Stardust Ranch in Arizona. We ended up hanging out for a little bit with Travis Walton from the Fire in the Sky movie and book, The Real Experiencer. And it was a pleasure to speak with him. And we stood there with Travis at the exact same payphone he went to the night he was returned from his abduction. And to see that and be there with him and watch his eyes kind of glaze over as he talked about this moment in his history, it was amazing. We had a great chance to do all types of investigations, and I was pushed way outside my comfort zone in that episode, being left alone on a mountain where UFOs and motherships have been seen. If you haven't had a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. DVR it, TiVo it, whatever. Make sure you check out the episode, the Stardust Ranch episode of Ghost Adventures, and let me know what you think. I did capture something on video that we can't explain. It's very interesting, UFO-like. Again, it is truly an unidentified flying object. A beam of light flew over me, broke into three lights, none of them pulsing or blinking like an airplane would be, and just a strange overall experience. Plus, the guys still down at the house investigating that area had some of their own strange encounters. So, again, check that out and hit me up, Dave at darknessradio.com, if you've had experiences like this man and you can attest to some of these things, or you have questions regarding the episode, I'd love to talk to you about those as well. So you can keep in touch with me at Dave at darknessradio.com. I love all facets of the paranormal when they can kind of come together like this in one strange place. How can you not go out and investigate it? So I give a lot of credit to the guys for stretching outside the boundaries of the Ghost Adventures series and exploring different aspects and something that was all-encompassing. Such a great time and a great opportunity. I deeply appreciated it. And I want to thank many of the Coast listeners have already emailed me about the episode and loved it. I want to thank you guys very much for the support. And I thought it was a lot of fun to be a part of that. Tonight, we're going to spend an evening looking at a different side of the Sasquatch, Bigfoot phenomena. People, many people talk about them in this sense of reverence and that these creatures, be it mystical, spiritual, or just cryptids, creatures that are unknown in origin, there's all these different theories and beliefs. And in many cultures, they believe that they are nothing but a malevolent, like earth spirit, maybe even a flash from our past, a visionary. We're going to talk to some people that have a very different perspective on this type of phenomena. We're going to talk about some very dark cases, some very scary moments and encounters with Bigfoot, and we'll be doing that throughout the show. Again, we'll invite your phone calls in the fourth hour of the show to speak with our guests. If you have any direct questions or your own encounters you'd like to share with us, that's what's on tap. I'm Dave Schrader, and we'd love for you to stick with us for the evening. We'll be back. We've got so much in store for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening and welcome back to Coast AM. I am your host this evening, Dave Schrader. As I said, we're going to spend an evening talking with guests regarding a different perspective in the Bigfoot mythos. We'll talk with three different guests throughout the evening. Beginning the show, Brenda Harvey Harris is our first guest. She is a Native American born in Shiprock, New Mexico, raised in Farmington, New Mexico, and she's lived on the reservation in Upper Fruitland, New Mexico since 1986. She's been looking into Bigfoot activity since she was a teen going into the early 90s. And in 2012, she started the New Mexico Shadow Seekers. Brenda has been on several radio shows and TV shows, including Monster and Mysterious and Finding Bigfoot. Brenda's goal is to inform the people of what's out there and how to take extra precautions to avoid unwanted encounters. Bigfoot on the Navajo Reservation, that's what we'll be discussing here in the first hour. Thank you so much for joining us, Brenda.
Thank you. Yate?
I'm
a little bit nervous, so.
Oh, nothing to be nervous about. We appreciate you spending some time. I know this is kind of an unnerving topic to talk about, but maybe you could start off a little bit. What spurred your interest in Bigfoot and researching this type of activity?
Well, I've heard it when I was just at a very young age, while listening to on the radio. We would go out to my grandmother's out in Arizona, and my mom and dad, they would load us up in the truck, and every weekend we would go out there. It's about 3 hour drive, 3-4 mm-hmm. hour drive out there, and we'd leave about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and my dad had made this like makeshift bed in the back of the bed of the truck. And he would, say, hey, just go to sleep and we'll wake you up when we get to grandma's. So we're like, okay. Well, on our way, my mom and dad, they would be listening to the Navajo Hour in at KNDN out in Farmington, a radio station. And this lady was in the news, and she would talk about, there's something, down at the river, monsters down at the river. Don't be going down there at the river. And that caught my ear. So I asked my mom and dad, I said, what is she talking about? She said, there's a monster down at the river. And they would just look at me, and dad would say, just go to sleep. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. We'll wake you up when we go to, get to grandma. So I'm like, okay, well, they just shoved it to the side. And again, like I said, throughout the summer, we would go out to my grandma's. And again, the following week, several weeks go by, same thing, load up and go down the road. And, I would listen to the radio station as they didn't know I was awake, and I would listen to it. But this time, the lady on the news says, don't go to the river again. There's a Sasquatch at the river. And I'm, just laying there, and I'm like, what is a Sasquatch? So I asked my mom and dad again, what is she talking about? What is a Sasquatch? Just go to sleep, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. But she said that it's down at the river, and it's big and scary, And I'm like, again, they would say, just go to sleep. So I'm okay. Well, as I got into my teen years, there was a movie that came out, The Legend of Boggy Creek. So I wanted to go see this movie, And at the beginning of the movie, they talk about encounters and stuff. And well, there was a gentleman in that movie that mentioned the name Sasquatch. Like, hey, and that triggered memory. Like, I remember that name, Sasquatch. That's that lady on the Navajo Hour that said Sasquatch. And I'm like, what is a Sasquatch? Well, as the movie would go on, then they finally show, this big, tall creature walking in the woods. I'm like, that's a Sasquatch. I'm like, oh, wow, that's, here down at the river. And I was just like, wow, at that time, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, really, that's that's here, you know, down at the river. Well,
and it sounds, I'm sure, to as a child, it kind of sounds like a fairy tale, or something your parents are telling you just to kind of scare you off from that area, even though your parents weren't, and they were just trying to get you to ignore it. I mean, when you're first initiated to that, that's kind of how I felt growing up. I don't know how it affected you, but when you kind of hear this, didn't it ring true of kind of fearful, but also this can't be real?
Oh yes, it did. I was just like, what? You know, I was like, wow, I can't believe it. That's really there. And, you know, it kind of frightened me at that time, you know. And I remember one time that we were going down the road, and I remember my mom, she yelled out, something had run across the road. Mm-hmm. And she says, "Gee, yeah, did you see that? What was that?" And my dad, of course, he just kept on going, you know. And that scared, I know that scared her. And I'm like, what was that? What was it? What ran across the road? Oh, it's nothing. Just go to sleep, you know. You know, and they just didn't want, you know, us to get scared.
Right.
And that was, you know, for my mom to say something like that real loud, you know, get kind of scared like that. And my dad just seemed to go even faster, you know, get out of that particular area there. And it was, you know, it's like, oh, what was that, you know? But, you know, they would never say what it was at that time. But after seeing the movie and you know, seeing what a Bigfoot was, I'm like, wow, it's kind of scary. And then, you know, moving on to the reservation in 86, that year, you know, that summer was the first time I had a very close encounter. You know,
now, were you cautious knowing that that they were talking about this as though it was a real being, that it was out there, that people had witnessed it? Were you cautious of where you went on the reservation or where you were in specific areas so you would never be alone in case something like this was out there walking and stalking the area?
No, you know, I was cautious, but I thought, no, it's not here on the reservation. No, you know, no. It can't be, you know. I'm thinking it just stays out in the mountains, like it says in the movie, that, you know, they're out in the mountains. You know, that's where I always used to think they stay out there, but I was wrong. They travel along the rivers. It could be the smallest stream that'll lead into the bigger rivers, you know, waters. That's where they'll hang out. I'm learning, and why was I wrong? You know, they are here, you know, along the rivers.
All right. Well, let's discuss that. Now, you said you had your first kind of encounter. Talk to us about what occurred to you.
Okay. Back in 86, I had my brother was staying with me. We had, you know, things going on at the house. And I would hear, while my husband would be working the graveyard shift, and I would be home a lot of times by myself, and I would hear, you know, different sounds, like grunt sounds by the window or something like hit the side of the house. And, yeah, I thought, well, you know, maybe someone's just trying to, you know, scare me or something. But, you know, I would just always brush it off. And then several years goes by. And then in the early 90s, I'm going to say between 90 and 92, it has to be 92, I had my two young kids at home with me. My husband had left for work. And it was in the summer. I had the bedroom windows open, and it was pretty hot. And so we used to live in a small double wide, and we had all the windows open in the living room and in the bedroom. My husband had left for work about 10:30 at night, and about 30 minutes after he'd left, I could hear something walking on the gravel. And we had a porch, and, you know, most porches, they squeak. Well, what really caught my attention was my dogs that I had, they were really crying and whimpering underneath the porch. And I'm like, "That what's going on? Why are they scared and crying?" At the same time, I could hear gravel really moving, you know, like heavy steps. And then next thing you know, I could hear steps, heavy steps walking onto the stairs, onto the porch. and the kids are kind of making, you know, loud sounds and stuff, talking. And I told everybody, say, hey, be quiet, be quiet. So everybody got quiet. And next thing you know, I could hear the screen door open. And the screen doors, a lot of times, they squeak. Well, the screen door, when it was open, I could hear it squeaking. And I'm like, oh, what is, who is here? Who's out there? And it, just a few seconds later, we see the doorknob moving back and forth. And my brother was standing pretty close to the door, and I was right by him, close to him by the couch, and the kids were behind me. And we're just standing there looking at the doorknob moving, like as if someone was going to open the door. I'm like, is someone out there, you know, just trying to scare us? Or, you know, I try to get my brother, I say, hey, open the door, let's see who it is. He was so scared, he couldn't even move. He just froze. So I ended up going to the front door, and I had the deadlock on the door. And as soon as I clicked that, I could hear let go of the screen door, and I heard him swung that door open, and there it was, this tall creature standing on the porch, tall and kind of scraggly looking, not really muscular. And it took off the porch, ran to the west side of the house, then up the hill behind the house.
You're saying this was a big creature in height, but not in stature so much. It wasn't this big mountain of a creature that we've always seen in, you know, so many depictions. And now, was it completely hairy all over?
Yes, it had hair from head all the way down to its foot.
And did looking at its face?
I didn't get to see the face because it was covered in hair.
Okay.
And our porch, I didn't have my porch light on because the light had went out. So as soon as I opened the door, I just see this black figure standing right there. And then it hurry up and shot off the porch. And I was standing there, and I looked at my brother, and I was like, did we just see that?
Right.
And I'm like, oh my, you know, and kids are
now,
like,
when it took off, was it lumbering? Or was it fast moving? How would you explain the way this creature moved?
It moved fast, just like a human would run fast. I mean, but this was faster. I mean, it just shot off the porch. It just ran off. It moved quick.
And if you had to guess, how tall would you think this being was?
I would say about maybe seven feet tall. It was pretty tall.
Okay. All right. Now, it takes off. That's your first visual encounter with a creature that you have no understanding or grasp of what exactly it is that you're dealing with at this point, but it seems frightened of you and takes off running.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, when it took off running, you know, I heard him close the door, locked up everything. I just told the kids, I said, let's go to bed. I shut down everything. They're like, what was it? What was it? And I'm like, just go to bed. It's, you know, I don't know. You know, that's all I said. So, you know, I chased him to bed. About 15 minutes after that had happened, it came back. After I shut down all the lights, the dogs still wouldn't come out of underneath the porch. I could still hear them crying and whimpering. Like I said, 15 minutes later, it came back. And it was on the porch again, and it was doing the same thing. Why was it doing that? I don't know. What did it want? I don't know. At that time, I didn't know what it was doing or what it wanted. Throughout the night, this is, you know, what was happening. It would come back. Every time I flipped the light on, I could hear it taking off.
Why didn't you just leave the light on so that it wouldn't, it would leave your house alone?
Oh, yeah. You know, I ended up probably about 4 o'clock in the morning is when I finally just left one of the lights on. But before I left that light on, I wanted to get another look to see if I'm seeing what I'm seeing is true. So in my bedroom window is where I could see the porch, you know, the stairs walking onto the porch. So I looked out the window, and there it was standing at the door. And I was just like, wow, it's really there. It's real. You know, what does it want? You know, I don't know. You
Brenda
know, that,
Harvey
that
Harris, our guest. Brenda, we have to take a break. When we return, we'll continue with your encounters with these beings and some of these strange findings that you've uncovered in doing your research into the Bigfoot phenomena in your area. Stay tuned. That's on its way. You're listening to the best in overnight talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for welcoming me into your home or your car or into your ears as you're listening through your headphones this evening to the show or possibly even on podcast. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Tonight, a look at dark encounters with a Sasquatch. We'll be doing that through the remainder of the show, opening up phone lines in hour four so we can hear from you. And if you have any questions for our guests from the evening, you can certainly talk to us then or share your own encounters. When we come back, our guest now talked to us about her first encounter, seeing the Sasquatch herself. What is the aftermath? How does her family and the community feel about these encounters? And what is the advice that they give her? Plus, what happens when two of the other elders in the area start having trouble of their own? You'll want to hear this case when we return to Coast AM. Bigfoot on the Navajo Reservation, Brenda Harvey Harris, our guest. Brenda, now that you've seen the Sasquatch for yourself, you've no longer just hearing these tales secondhand, but seeing it for yourself. How do you react, and how does your family react when you share the story?
For me, it was scary to actually see one that close. As far as my family, they're pretty scared for me, and you know, I never really said to them that I. You know, I investigate these things. I kept it really quiet because among the Navajo people, the Native people, you don't talk about these things. You leave it alone. You know, don't bother it. It won't bother you. And and it's always been said that way. But you know, times have changed now, where some things have happened, and you know, it can get scary at times. You know, I knew.
Sure. Why do you think that they keep so quiet then? If why do you think they just, you know, okay, we know it's there. Don't talk about it. Don't acknowledge it. Is there a fear that if you talk about it or talk to it, you're giving it power and that it can affect you more or open you up to the experiences more?
It has to do with the culture, the Navajo culture. Because, you know, back way back long time ago, these things when, you know, you've heard of the Long Walk, that these things came out and helped the Native people. Some of the Natives say that they're here to help us, they're here to bless us and to watch over. Some of them are watchers. And then you get some of them, other people that say, Natives that say that they're evil and you shouldn't talk about them. They're going to come and attack you. You know. So every tribe and every Native is always a different saying about these things. And so, you know.
Now, is it believed that these are physical beings, or is it believed that they're more spiritual or metaphysical in nature?
I hear a lot about spiritual, and then also part human and humanoid. You know. A lot of it, I've been hearing lately, spiritual. Lately, it's been different. You know, it's like no, there's more human to it than it just being a spiritual thing. You know, so it, you know, a lot of different meanings. You know, it's like you say one thing, and okay, someone tells you they're spirit, some tell you that no, they're human. No, there's something else. It's like, okay, which one
does
is it?
Does it depend on the generations, on how they look at it? Is the older generation believe that it is just another tribe, and a younger generation believes it's more spiritual?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, talk to us a little bit about one of the first cases you worked on, the two grandmothers, I think it was referred to, the case with the sheep. Can you break that down for us a little bit?
Okay, I'll try and make it quick. Back in 2010, we had some incidents that happened. A lot of sheep that was killed out here in the area. And I had gotten a call from the chapter house, from the lady that worked there, and she says, can you come to the chapter house? I've got a grandma here that really wants to talk to you. That's all she would say. I said, okay, I'll be right there. So I got there and met the grandma, and she was, you know, start telling me what was going on. And at the same time, she was crying. And she says, can you, something's killing my sheep. It's that Bigfoot. It's killing my sheep. Can you come and check? And I said, okay. I said, I'll be out there. And she was in tears. You know, the sheep among the Native people, it's a very valuable to them, very valuable animal. They cherish the sheep. The wool is what they use. The, you know, the meat is, you know, that's another income.
Right, so they use, and they use every aspect of the sheep, right? So that's why it's mm-hmm. so important to them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, something had killed a sheep, and when I went to go look, the sheep had, they said that it sucked out all of the blood. It had a puncture wound in the neck, and it had like a slit on the side and where all the insides would be hanging out of their bodies. And when I had, you know, taken a good look at that, I looked at the grandma and the granddaughter. I told her, I said, that's not a Bigfoot kill. When Bigfoot kills an animal, it rips it up. This was something else that we were dealing with. And it blew me away because I had another grandma that contacted me, and mm-hmm. I went to go see her, the same thing. And, you know, she's like, what is it? You know, and I'm, you know, I had the first grandma tell me, can you kill it? Kill it. I'm tired of it coming around. Can you kill it? And I looked, I said, I will do the best that I can. I said, but this is not a Bigfoot kill. And so when I got the second call, another grandma told me the same thing. Three of her sheep were killed, and their watchdog sheepdog was killed. And this exact same way. And so I went and checked it.
But yet you didn't believe that was a Bigfoot kill. That
no,
the way
no,
it was being described. Okay.
Yeah, this was something else. And I'm like, what is going on? So. About 2 months later, they call me back again. Get over here. This thing killed more sheep. And I went and checked, and you know, I went and looked, and I'm like, oh my word, what in the world? Whatever it was, this family had about a 300-pound ram, huge ram. This ram was in its corral, whatever it was, picked up the two legs of the ram, drug it out of the corral, shoved its head into the ground so far that it got, you know, so much dirt in the nostrils, in the eyes, and in the mouth. Again, that same slit down on the side of the abdomen, all that stuff hanging out. And all the blood was sucked out. I'm like, oh my word. All her sheep, you know, she lost pretty much all of her sheep. She was in tears. And I'm like, what is going on? And again, I would tell her, this is something else. I know it's not a Bigfoot because Bigfoot kills. I get reports of a Bigfoot when they, you know, tear up a sheep. Sometimes they'll rip off the head off of its sheep.
Right. Did you figure out what this was that was attacking the sheep then?
Oh, I was puzzled. I tell you what, we all were puzzled down here. And a lot of people say it's a chupacabra. And I'm like, if that's a chupacabra, this has got to be a huge chupacabra for it to do this to a ram. And I was just like stumped. I'm like, oh my word, what is, you know, grandma lost pretty much all her sheep. She had a total, I believe, of 15 sheep.
Wow.
By the time we got done taking pictures of all the sheep and stuff, and when we got done, after we left, they were going to put down all the rest of the sheep, and she was only left with one. And she was in tears. I tell you,
why were they going to put down the rest of the sheep? I'm not understanding that.
It's something in the Navajo culture. When something like this happens, no telling whatever killed those sheep might have carried something into the sheep. Is this like a rabies or, you know, some kind of disease, whatever it was.
Oh, so they had to eradicate it in case there was something from whatever was killing the sheep. Okay.
Exactly.
So,
yeah,
but you don't believe that, that you still don't believe that was a Bigfoot encounter that was taking the sheep apart. Okay.
No, we have so many other things going on out here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy, but yeah, you know, it's scary sometimes, you know, to come across stuff like that. But, you know, we did have an incident the following year in 2011, my son was, I couldn't sleep. And it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I thought he was just going to take the trash out. When he got to the trash can, and there it was standing right by the trash can, and he just stood and couldn't believe it. And he just watched this thing, looked at each other, and this thing walked over the fence. And he goes, "What was strange about it, Mom, was it's almost as if it didn't even walk. It just like floated, and then it went into the ceiling and was gone." And he's like, you know, that really spooked him. You know, we get a lot of people also that all you people out there that are listening that are really skeptic, I'm going to share this story with you real quick. Please don't make fun of all these people that do believe in Bigfoot because of some of the things that our people out here on the reservation have experienced. It's not funny. It's real. Well, in 2011, I had my sisters, my niece, her husband, her and him and two young boys came. And these guys were making fun of it, and they would laugh. And so one night they came to our house unexpectedly, and they wanted to see. And they were laughing. And when they came, they were laughing and making fun of us. And they said, "Take us to the river. We want to go see it." So I looked at my son. I said, "Go take him down there." And I like I said, they were laughing. And they had shotguns. Every one of these guys had shotguns with them. So I told my son, "Go take him down to the river." And my son was the only one that had a flashlight. And so they walked most of the way. I lived about half a mile from the river. And so he took him down the long walk. They got to an area, and they sat in this area for about a couple hours. They would hear some weird yells.
Right.
And they sat there back to back in this particular area, and in front of them, there was a bush about 5 yards right in front of them. They sat there, like I said, for a couple hours. All of a sudden, they hear a grunt, loud grunt, and that really spooked them. And they're like, "Well, what is that?" And my son, he heard him flash the light up, and there it was right there in front of him on all fours. I tell you, these guys jumped back, and they got scared. They didn't know what to do. My son jumped up. He had the flash on, and this thing stood up. It grunted at them really loud, and it took off running. Well, I tell you what, those guys were scared after that. When they came back to my house, my son was telling them when they were down there, the way they came in is, boy, this thing took off running. He goes, "That's the only way out of here." And the guys were scared. They had no choice but to go that way. As they were walking out of this area, they could hear something running right towards them. And they got their shotguns ready, and they weren't laughing. And whatever was running in front of him towards them, when it got closer, it was the neighbor's dog. But that wasn't, you know, the dog that they saw stand up and running off. It was a young juvenile that they seen that was in front of them. When they got back to my house, I waited for them outside. They got back to my house about 1:30 in the morning. And I tell you what, they went from laughing to instant quiet. They couldn't believe it. The man, the young guy tells me, he goes, whatever is down there shouldn't be down there. They left and they were scared. That really scared these guys. You know, so many people out there, they make fun of people. This is another reason why a lot of the natives don't say anything.
Understandable.
They don't want to get fun and they don't want to get laughed at. And, you know, that's why a lot of people won't talk about it.
Understandable.
They want to say something, but they don't want to be mocked at.
Well, you always have an open forum with us to share these stories and insights, Brenda. Now, one thing, and we've got very little time left, but is there a belief that Bigfoot have killed people as well through the reservation or in that general area?
Yes. This is a really sensitive subject. And
I understand that.
I will share one. Back in 2000, I believe it was 2000.
And we only have about 2 minutes left together here, so.
Okay, I'll make it quick. These two young guys, the young man got off work, and they grabbed a six-pack of beer, and they just wanted to chill. It was in the summer. Sat down at the river, and they were just talking, and just having a nice, cool evening. And all of a sudden, this Bigfoot comes up on them and starts attacking them. The two men that were down at the river, they tried to fight this thing off, and it was just too strong. This Bigfoot would pick one of the guys up and throw him in the river. And he's trying to help his friend, and this thing was just too strong. And his buddy was yelling, help, help, you know, get some help, you know, help me. And this thing, it just attacked this one individual, you know. Why? We don't know. I don't know. Well, his buddy heard him, ran back on top of the hill, go to his neighbors and banged on the door and got some help. They call the cops, and they get all down there, take the cops down to the area where this happened. And they couldn't find the body, and the Bigfoot wasn't around. And the guy told them what had happened, and they ended up calling the rescue, you know, bring out their raft. And they go down about a mile and a half down the stream, and they find his buddy down the stream with his neck broken. And they did find a footprint in the area down in there. And he was dead. He was gone.
And they believe that to have actually occurred because of a Bigfoot. Did they look into his friend as possibly being the one that murdered him and trying to cover it up?
Oh yeah, they did. But he's like, no, that was a Bigfoot that did that. And, you know, they were told to keep quiet about it. And you know, the cover up they used was they were drunk and he drowned. And, you know, I talked to the relative, one of the relatives there, and they informed me of, you know, what had happened. And it did happen. That did attack them and did kill them.
Well, Brenda, I thank you for sharing that information with us and being here for the evening to open up. I know it's hard to sometimes talk about some of these more sensitive matters, and perhaps we can have you back in the future to discuss more.
Sure.
We've got our guests, Jim Bear King, Tim Kunbo Baker, are going to join us for the remainder of the show, the next 3 hours, as we talk about more dark encounters with the forest people, the Sasquatch, here on Coast to Coast AM.